tomorrow night, we begin the holiday of Sukkot. And the question is exactly to what extent, when is a person allowed to leave a sukkah, which we're going to discuss in greater detail over Yom Tov. There's different halachos, like mitzta'er is patur min a sukkah, someone who's in anguish is allowed to leave a sukkah. And furthermore, the Mishnah actually gives us a different category of a yardu geshamim, begins to rain. And situation where there's a certain amount of rainfall, then a person will not have to learn the sukkah. So we're going to learn about this particular halacha, Le'ili Nishmas David Simcha Ben Abraham Abish, exactly when a person is allowed to leave their sukkah in the situation of rain. So the Mechaber tells us, Yardu Geshamim Harizan Nichnas L'Sukha Bayis. It begins to rain, there's no need to stay in your sukkah. And in fact, some of the Mefarshim speak very negatively of a person who wants to accept upon themselves somewhat of what they appear to be a stringency, a chumrah, of staying in the sukkah even though it's a downpour. It's considered, according to some, as a chassid shota, because in fact, the fact that it's raining, the Mishnah says it's a simen klala. It's a curse. Hashem is telling us that He wants us to leave the sukkah. So therefore, by staying in the sukkah is really undermining the whole purpose of why Hashem caused it to rain on you. So yardu geshamim harizen nichnas l'sukkah bayis. The halacha is that it doesn't matter if you're in anguish or non-anguish, you're supposed to leave the sukkah. Mi'masai mutal alfanos. The question is, how much rain does this qualify as you're supposed to leave the sukkah? So the Mechaber says, mishiyerdu l'tocha sukkah tipos, that when you're looking down and you see this from your schach, a bunch of drops of water, that if it would continue to fall into your food, it would make it spoiled. It's going to ruin your food. And it says that even if it's a dish comparable to like porridge, something like that, if by all the rain falling onto your food, that's significant enough that a person should leave the sukkah. Which, that alone, based on the words of the Mechaber, teach us that if it would be just a couple of drops, that doesn't validate or legitimize you leaving the sukkah. It has to be a significant amount of rain. Then the Ramah tells us, "V'afilu in tavshil afanav." Well, does that mean you have to cook up some broth and put it in front of you to be able to do this test? No, you can use your own judgment based on logic when too much rain you should leave. What if you don't really know this so well? You should figure out that if you have a leak in your house, which unfortunately the plumber didn't come, and it's pouring down, are you going to stay in that room? So if it's maybe a drop or two, you might put a bucket in that area, and you may still stay in that room. However, if it gets so terrible, unfortunately you have no choice but to leave that room. That's a good way, a good litmus test, that whether you should leave the sukkah. So if it's a very small amount of rain, then that doesn't qualify to leave the sukkah. And the concept, as we'll discuss in greater detail over sukkahs, is because there's a concept called teshvu, sukkahs teshvu shiva shalom. You're supposed to dwell in sukkahs for 7 days. And the Gemara learns out, teshvu came to do. You're supposed to live in your sukkah in the same manner as a person would in their house the entire year. So therefore, if in the situation where it's a leaky roof, you're not going to stay there, so too, a leaky sukkah, you're not going to stay there as well. Now, the reason why I chose this particular halacha is the next words of the Ramah. It says, V'chol zeh dafka v'shar yamim, o leilo shel sukkah. This is only during the other days. Of a leilo harishona, with regard to the first night of sukkahs, which is tomorrow night, sarach lechol kazayis b'sukkah, the Ramah holds, which is generally the custom of the Ashkenaz, is that we're supposed to eat a little bit in the sukkah, maybe a slice of bread, even in the situation where the rain will continue to fall, and he quotes also the words of the Torah and the Rush as well. Be kaddish with sukkah, and a kid, you should make kiddish in the sukkah. Kiddish yomer zman al hasukkah, so that when you say the shechianu, it also goes on the sukkah, because actually the Gemara discusses in great detail whether or not you're supposed to make the bracha of shechianu in the kiddish, which is the halacha the Gemara comes out with. Or perhaps even when you're building and constructing the sukkah, perhaps for that alone you're supposed to say a shachyonu. So therefore, even if it rains, says the Ramah, better that you should at least have a morsel of food there, even in that particular situation, which would be unfortunate if it would rain on the first night of Sukkot. Now the Mishnah. Right. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah is going to say. Very good. The Mishnah Berurah continues and says, "The avshehu mitztaher machmas hageshem." Even if, let's say, a person on the first night is bothered by all this rain that's coming down on them, the chol mitztaher patur m'sukkah. And we said the general concept that if a person is in anguish, they do not have to be in the sukkah. Clearly, Ramah, the concept of what Ramosh Yisrael is teaching us is kedas haposkim, that the Ramah holds. In a stringent manner, the sovereign that they hold the Belaila Rishon on the first night, Af Mitzar Chayiv. Even though there's a concept, Mitzar is Patim in a Sukkah, that a person who's in anguish does not have to be in a Sukkah, says the Ramah that I do not feel that law applies for whatever reason to the first night. Why? The Tamam, and the reason he gives is based on a Gzer Shava. The Gzer Shava of Chamish Aser Mechag Hamatzos. That, as we mentioned last night, the 15th of Tishrei, which is tomorrow, is exactly 6 months before and 6 months after Pesach, which is on the 15th of Nisan. So therefore, and we also mentioned yesterday, that really the holiday of Sukkot could have be celebrated on Pesach, because it commemorates when we left Mitzrayim. We discussed the reason why we don't do that. But nonetheless, there is certainly a tremendous connection between Pesach and Sukkot, so much so that there is a Gzer Shava, a valid Gzer Shava of 15-15, the dates, that we try to apply sometimes to the things that happen on Pesach to Sukkot, so much so that the Gemara actually in Sukkot, in the second parak, discusses the question whether or not women should be obligated to sit in a sukkah. Now, even though it's really a positive mitzvah, which is bound by time, which is a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, which generally noshim paturos, but because women are obligated to eat on Pesach matzah, the Gemara entertains the possibility maybe they have an obligation to sit in the sukkah, which, for based on a pasuk, says they do not have to. However, the Ramah feels, based on this gezer shava of tesvav of the 15th, those dates, that regardless of how much you enjoy or don't enjoy on Pesach eating pounds and pounds of matzah on the Seder night, you still have to do it. So too, the obligation of sitting in the sukkah is regardless of whether you enjoy it. So therefore, he says, based on the first night, which, just like eating the matzah, you have to eat it. There's an obligation. We don't care if you're a mitzta'er. Not that you're going to make yourself sick, but it bothers you a little bit. You still have to eat the matzah. So too, says the Ramah, you also have to sit in the sukkah.
Why don't the poor people get more schitim on Sukkot? On Pesach, get more schitim on Pesach.
Yeah?
You don't have to.
Oh, very good. They just have to sit there. Sit there and starve, right? I imagine they also would eat something, would help also. Okay, it's an interesting thought. So he says, but that's the idea of the reason why the Ramah says this. He says, however, some people disagree with this and say that the concept also of being in anguish also applies to the first night. And therefore, there's this suffix, there's a doubt whether or not a person has to in fact, eat in the sukkah in this particular situation, and therefore, as a compromise, it says birchas leishiv asukkah liyavarech. If it's pouring rain the first night, don't say the bracha of leishiv asukkah, but because of the concept of suffik bracha so hakel, that we go lenient, and therefore a person wouldn't say the bracha. However, according to the Ramah, you should, following this concept, you would still sit there. And he says, and we're not going to read the rest of this Mishnah Berurah, he says there's a question, how long should you wait? In fact, the Mishnah Berurah says that perhaps you should wait until chatzos halayla, until midnight, if it's raining and raining, and you get home at 7 o'clock and it's raining. So there's an opinion in the Mishnah Berurah that says you should wait literally on chatzos halayla, right? Because perhaps the rain will stop. And then when the rain stops, you'll be able to eat in the sukkah with the proper bracha of leishiv asukkah. However, the Mishnah Berurah quotes other poskim that feel that we also cannot forget that it's Yom Tov, and there's a concept of Simchas Yom Tov, and we'll conclude with this last sentence. It says, "Ein lecha minias Simchas Yom Tov Yoser Mizeh, that if a person has to wait for 5 hours and burden his family and little children who are going to fall asleep and not be able to partake in a meal at all because they're going to be sitting around waiting, there's no greater lack of joy than having to do that. And therefore, some people are more lenient and say you don't have to wait the entire time, wait a little bit, and then afterwards go into the sukkah if it's still raining, eat a morsel, and then eat inside. However, regardless of what you hold, in Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow night, it will be a very dry, dry night. God bless.